This podcast is brought to you by the HSP World Mastery Program, dedicated to inspiring and empowering HSPs. Hi, and welcome to the HSP World Podcast. With each episode, we invite a guest with the HSP trade to have a conversation about a burning HSP-related question they have. We're not coaches or therapists. We're HSPs holding space with you. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas, and my co-host today is Rain. Hello, Rain.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Robin is away today. I'd like to introduce our guest, Daisy. Hello, Daisy. How are you doing?
Hello, Thomas. Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
Daisy, I'd like to get started by asking you the question that we always ask, and that is about your HSP story. How did you find out about the trait?
Yeah, well, I did come to realize it in my teens, and it's when I first started realizing that I was a bit more sensitive than other people around me, in terms that I obviously have more emotional reaction to, say, like violent films. I find sometimes crowds a bit too much, social situations a bit too much. Mm-hmm. And I've always just had a great sensitivity towards, say, nature and appreciation for art. And I just sort of realized I felt everything a bit more deeply and struggled to connect with people, especially my teen years, on that level, and realized that, hey, maybe not everyone's as sensitive as me. But I think in hindsight, I did get used to researching the sort of trait. I actually came across the sort of phrase empath. Uh-huh. And it was almost like a checklist. I was like, yep, that's me. Yep. And it was more sort of getting more comfortable with myself as a person and realizing, yeah, just getting to know myself a bit better, really. I think in my 20s now, I'm more comfortable, obviously, in my own skin, and I'm more comfortable looking at the good and bad side of life and how I approach life. So I say my story is probably, now looking in hindsight, even at work, I do sort of tend to attract people with a lot of problems, or people that would want to talk about their problems a lot with me. If that makes sense, kind of like, I don't know, I kind of labelled it as like an unpaid therapist at work, basically. And it became a theme and it became a pattern. And it wasn't even at the time, like, of course, I'd help anyone, I don't mind listening. I think everyone should be able to have someone to talk to. But it was sort of noticing how drained I got after these interactions, and then noticed the sort of importance of having a boundary there and having a way that you can help, but you also have to help yourself in the process and be mindful of your barriers and your boundaries. So I think that really sort of hit the spot lately. Mm-hmm. And my HSP trait is sort of protecting my boundaries, really. Mm-hmm. And helping others, of course, but being mindful of getting drained and how I can thrive with this trait.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that. A lot of times people will pick up, especially if you're a compassionate person, and they'll start opening up to you, but you do have to respect your own boundaries so that you don't get drained. It's a very good point.
Mm, really good point. And you had a really good question too, Daisy.
Yeah. So my question was actually, and this is again tying in with boundaries, my question to the HSP World podcast was, self-care rituals does one have that helps them in life, and rituals mean sort of like practices you may do or hobbies that you may do or fill your day with that actually helps you as a highly sensitive person?
That's a really good question, and I like the way you pointed out that it is related to boundaries. I think that rituals are a form of boundary setting. Mm-hmm. But it goes even further. It's something that really does help you achieve self-care. You know, I'm going to start by saying that I have a lot of rituals built in, and I certainly have built these over the last 5 years or so. You know, one of the things that I've found tremendously helpful for myself is just something as simple as having a regular schedule. So my wife gets up very early. She gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning because her work starts at 6:30, and she is now working from home. and her home office is in our bedroom. So I have to get out. I have to get out of there by 6:30. But having that daily, like just, you know, waking up every day at 6 o'clock, and conversely in the evening, falling asleep at 10, 10:30, I'm finding very helpful.
Yeah, no, it really does help to have, I think it's, I find particularly, obviously, like throughout the day, it's good to have fillers and have like little pockets of calm. But I find especially in the morning routine and the nighttime routine, I think they're so crucial. I found personally, like say rising in the right way, I think it sets the pace and it sets the harmony for the day. Mm-hmm. And winding down at night, it's obviously a good like reflective time. It's a good time to sort of embrace that sort of calm state. I've found those two obviously times of the day very important throughout the pandemic, especially when everything is so heightened and everything could be so triggering for some people.
Mm. Yeah, and it's also true, you know, every HSP person who has a trait is different, so their sensitivities are different. Mm-hmm. This is what I've noticed, and with myself, I might have different sensitivities than, say, Thomas or you, you know?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it does depend, too, on what your sensitivities are. So, you know, like if you have a light sensitivity or temperature sensitivities or sound, you know, smells, all kinds of things. I think it's one of those things that it's a really interesting exploration to find out and figure out what your own sensitivities are so that you can modify things within your day that accommodate your sensitivities.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I think obviously it's, as you said, though, you've worded everyone's a bit different, and it's kind of that thing, even just being highly sensitive, it's not like a one shoe fits all situation. Right. So you have to like find what works for you personally. Because say there could be one highly sensitive person who's doing all these sort of self-care routines, and it may not work for the next highly sensitive person. As you say, it doesn't meet their needs because maybe they've got more light sensitivity than say like a social sensitivity, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's great once you learn you have the trait, then it's kind of fun to delve into it, to look at, okay, well, what are my sensitivities? Which senses of mine are the strongest type of thing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then with that information, then go, okay, now let me look at my days, how I set my days up. Okay, how can I set my days up so that I can use those sensitivities to my benefit as opposed mm-hmm. to them working against me kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but it's usually first, it's such a relief to find out you have the trait, and then
yeah,
and then it's more I don't know, I went through a phase of then going, oh, so that's why this, so that's why that, so, and so many things made sense. And then it came to the stage for me where I was like, okay, so then I started getting curious, because basically we just have a heightened nervous system, you know, mm-hmm. and so there's things we pick up on that, you know, we don't even really realize we are, but it's mostly because we've, you know, never been taught to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daisy, there was one thing you mentioned, pockets, and I love this idea that you are designing pockets of time during the day, because that's something that I definitely do myself. Mm-hmm. And as an example, one of the pockets that I design for myself is early in the morning, I do a 10-minute breathing meditation. And mm-hmm. I've discovered now if I miss that meditation, the day just feels off for me.
Mm-hmm. How do you relate to
that? Yeah. Another thing that I actually have just started, I forget where I got this idea, but the suggestion was to sit down and just spend 5 minutes visioning the day. So for me, it's especially for work days, you know, I have a big checklist of things that I'm doing for my clients, and I'm finding it very helpful to take 5 minutes and just vision how the day is going to go, with each task that I'm going to be doing and all the other things that I want to put in between in terms of those pockets, as you mentioned. And I'm finding that's really good because sometimes I have tasks or meetings or whatever that might be a little bit stressful. And one of the things that I've been doing in my visioning exercising is to just imagine them going very well, being very positive about it, and that it ends up then actually happening that way. It ends up being more positive because I'm sort of priming myself, priming my mind to think, oh, this is going to be a positive thing, even though it could have been, you know, a little bit more stressful. So that's something that I'm doing as well.
Yeah, I really love that idea. I think that's beautiful. Similar, actually, and it's the sort of routine that I developed over lockdown, and it's really set in. And obviously, I think that's really helped me through this like chaos, and it's still helping me now. So I start the day with meditation, and like yourself, if obviously like we're humans, sometimes we can miss it, and sometimes life gets in the way, and you can't set it out. But I've tried to be quite militant and stay close to it because I've noticed the benefits and how good it mm-hmm. makes me feel. Mm-hmm. But say the days that I have missed it, I just feel that there's been a lot more disharmony to the day, like nothing sort of seems to go as smoothly as I would if I meditated, actually. And I love the idea of you sort of envisioning your days. And as you were saying that, I just sort of started to think about, say, like intention setting, because I know that's kind of like, say, similar to that, because you kind of, if you write like a list of intentions, I think in the morning, say, I intend to do this, or I intend to do this, say, I intend to go for a walk in nature and it's going to be really beneficial for me. Even if you write down a list of five things, I think I did that over lockdown and that was really mm-hmm. Helpful for me. And I got all the list done. So it was really amazing. As you said, like yourself, you envision it and prime yourself for the day. Yeah, I think that's really helpful. I find that really interesting. I'd love to like research more about that and sort of see different techniques to do that as well.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I'm trying to think of something. I know for me, stopping multitasking has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
That's been a big one, just allocating certain things in the day and there's no switching, you know, back and forth or anything like that. It's staying focused on the one thing, finishing it, and then moving on to the next one and being able to just focus on one thing at a time. That I like that. That helps me a lot.
I love that. It seems like slowing down and just being mindful of one activity.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that multitasking is almost like a myth. I think we've talked ourselves into this idea that we can multitask, and it's actually not the case. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, totally. I think it could probably lead to sort of too much going on, too much stimulation, too much to take on maybe in some situations and some days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and also too, for me, self-care is also how much extroverting I pay attention to the amount of time I'm extroverting. And knowing when, oh, okay, I've had enough of this, you know, it's time for this to end, kind of a thing, you know, just to be more aware of my energy level when I'm extroverting.
Mm-hmm. It is the same. When I look back, say, if like heavy social situations, or say like parties and stuff, especially if there was like alcohol involved, which I've recently kind of, to be fair, over the pandemic, I just sort of didn't really feel the need to sort of have alcohol. There's obviously no party, so I just didn't drink for a while. Not that I was like a heavy drinker before, but say talking about like extroverting and over extroverting, I find I was in such a pattern of feeling the need or like guilt to stay at social situations. But and because everyone's drinking, there's like, oh, you want another beer, another one, another drink, and of course you want to be social. But also you're like, oh, just I'm getting really tired. Even if it's like 9 o'clock, you're like, oh, I wish I was in bed in my pajamas or having a tea or
right.
kind of like, is that internal battle, isn't it, of being like, not having to stand up for yourself, but maybe having to sort of take a stand for yourself. Guys, I'm tired, actually. Not like you have to ask permission to go home, but like wanting people to understand around you, maybe, and for it not to be a big deal, if that makes sense, for you to go home and say miss the grand party or like the last few hours of it. Mm-hmm. I found that really interesting, actually. And I think probably going forward after the pandemic, I think I will prioritise that more and listen to that inner voice that says, Daisy, come on, I think you're a bit tired now. I think you should go home.
Mm-hmm. I've mentioned on this podcast before that when my wife and I go to parties or go dancing or whatever, that before we even go, I'll say something like, look, you know, about an hour and a half or 2 hours into it, let's check in and see how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. See if, you know, so I sort of think ahead and say, you know, I'm going to check in and just give myself the opportunity to say, yeah, maybe it's time to go or something like that. And it's really wonderful and helpful to have a partner who will actually ask you, it's like, hey, how's it going? It's like, well, you know, I'm kind of getting there. I'm kind of getting to overwhelm. Or, you know, I'm doing great. Let's continue, you know. It all depends on the situation. It all depends on how much extroverting I'm asked to do. Mm-hmm. I thought of something, too, that is sort of in the realm of self-care and is something that I'm slowly turning into a ritual, and that is decluttering. I'm doing a little bit of decluttering every day. I'm the type of person that likes to, you know, make things and do things and create and all that kind of stuff. And as a result, my workshop bench fills up and the garage fills up and the room fills up, and I like to read books and there's books everywhere. So I've sort of learned that it's necessary to do the opposite as well, which is to, I'm thinking of decluttering as unmaking, you know, taking things and like last night, it was just a simple matter of taking a whole bunch of cardboard boxes and compressing them so that I can put them in recycling. But that's one thing that I am finding that is helping me feel good inside, is to know that every day I'm doing a little bit of decluttering, even if it's only just a 10-minute or 15-minute thing. Just go and declutter something, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that way there's more space, more physical space. Mm-hmm. It's again, it's like these, like you were talking about creating pockets. It's creating space. And it's not just about creating mental space, which is a lot of what these rituals are doing, but also physical space. That's what I mm-hmm. wanted to mention.
Yeah, no, that's amazing you said that today, because I've been doing that exactly today. I'm almost tidying around, and I sort of say I sort of have books everywhere. I'm a bit of a hoarder, really. But yeah, I just collect everything, and like I just can't throw anything away, and I get very attached to things and quite sentimental. I think that's lovely to like declutter. I've also found like quite a lot of joy and peace in sort of shedding. Like today, as a metaphor, so I was cleaning out my wardrobe and sort of going through old clothes, being like, I don't need this anymore, sort of getting clothes to donate to charity. And it made me feel good, being like, I'm just shedding old layers of myself. If that sounds weird, but it's sort of like getting rid of that old energy. And I'm sort of, it feels good to do that, because I've had this coat in the wardrobe for years, but I've just been too attached to it, but I haven't worn it in years, if that makes sense. So that really helped me, and I felt so good after that, actually. And it was just such a whole like cleansing process to be like, yeah, just get a bit more minimal. Just, you don't use it, but give it away. Yeah, that really helped me, actually. And even today I was thinking, oh, could I actually try and embrace like a more minimal lifestyle? I don't know if it happened easily, because as I say, I like to collect everything, but I did pay attention to the way it made me feel. And I think I was kind of uplifted after that, and just sort of, yeah, easy breezy after that. It was quite a nice activity. Yeah, decluttering, that is one to think about, actually. Yeah.
You know what I find so amazing is when you declutter, it seems like it's a week later and three people have given me things that I I then have to look at and go, do I need to declutter again? It's a constant thing, it seems.
That's why I think it's actually worth building into a ritual, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because unless we do it a little bit every day or a little bit every so often, then it becomes a big, big, big job, a big chore. And then we don't want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But if we do a little bit, I mean, again, we're talking about self-care and how rituals build self-care. So I think that's the important part. At least for me, it's important to just keep doing it a little bit every day. Then it just becomes a part of you. And, you know, it's this nice balance of creating and cleansing. And I don't know how else to put it. After the break, we continue the conversation on creating space in the day for what's important. We'll be right back after this. Our podcast is brought to you by the HSP World Mastery Program, with a mission of inspiring and empowering highly sensitives so you can use your natural creative abilities to co-create an amazing and hope-filled future. The HSP World Mastery Program uses data-driven, positive tools and methods supporting your growth in a way that's gentle, thoughtful, and caring, with an emphasis on positive impacts and results on your daily life. You can learn more about the HSP World Mastery Program by visiting hsp.world/mastery. Now let's return to our podcast. I wanted to expand it a little bit again about creating space and creating these little pockets. I've been creating space every day now in the morning, early morning, for my creative practice. And why I like that is because it's something that's important to me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's well worth asking yourself, what is really important to me? And is it something that I want to create space for every day? Because if you can do that, that's another ritual. And in this case, you've made space for those things that are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we don't ask ourselves, or we don't allow ourselves.
Give ourselves permission.
We don't give ourselves permission to give space to those things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things that I like to do is daydream, which for me is about calling in inspiration and giving space to finding new ideas, new creative ideas. And I mean, we all daydream, but this is actually sort of a ritual that I do now. And I'm doing it because it's important to me. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say here is that by making that space, I have given something important to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's self-care, right?
Yeah, you're recognizing it feeds you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, Thomas.
Daisy, is there anything else that you can think of that sort of falls in this idea of self-care and rituals?
Yeah, so, well, for myself, it kind of like helped me to sort of break it down. The more I sort of thought about building like a self-care ritual, just not to overthink it, obviously, to stay close to what makes me feel good and what makes me feel more empowered and more energetic throughout the day. So I sort of put it in categories, and this really helped me. So I made a list of mind, things I can do for the mind, and things I can do for the body, and things I can do for, like, say, the soul, so like spiritual practice, if anyone's into that as well. And that really helped me to get it out on paper and see what I do for those elements of my being and how they make me feel. So I rotate them. It's strange. So say for the mind, like I might go on like a nature walk, or I might go to the local park and just to spend some time in nature, being mindful of my environment. Say I could sort of do a social media detox, don't scroll, turn notifications off. I think all of these things for the mind, and of course, like I said earlier, different things for different people. For the body, obviously, it's kind of like I'm thinking about like exercise, movement, walking, eating food that will make me feel better and less sort of like groggy.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, obviously, we covered it in I suppose that falls under spirituality, like sort of meditation that helps the mind a lot. Right. And cleansings. I'll do smoke cleanses and stuff like Palo Santo cleanses, and that will help me. Yeah, so I've made a list of those three things, and as I said, like I'll rotate them, or I'll discover new things if I feel inspired to, like explore a topic or try something new. So say like a new exercise class or a new sort of spiritual like healing modality or something. I'll switch it around, but that helps me personally to kind of categorize it and see like how can I feed and nurture like every element, and if I'm tending to them all, hopefully that'll help me thrive a bit more and be mindful of when I come out of like disharmony with maybe, so like my mind isn't so great, was a bit stressed, I think, oh well, I'll go to one of those practices that have helped me before in stressful situations.
Yeah, I love how you've made all these different categories and then you're following up. Do you have these written down and do you review them, or is it just something you keep in your mind?
It's something I keep in my mind, like quite like yourself would say, the daydreaming. There's something that has become like solid in my routine, which was nature walks, which I think it like fed like my mind, but also like my spiritual nature. I thought I love being out there because it's making me feel so much more energetic. I feel it refuels me. To mm-hmm. say like I'll be mindful of that, that's kind of like a permanent one up there. That's I keep that for practically nearly every day to go on a nature walk. So these other things that have helped me, I have made lists, but they tend to be, as I say, I stay close to what makes me feel good day by day. And I have these solid routines that say meditation in the morning, a nature walk, being mindful of the food I eat. I'm quite sensitive to say like sugar and stuff. If I have a lot of that, I might get headaches, I might get like stomach issues. So I think it's just like, I don't know, like it's not like I'm so regimented with it, but it's like sort of day-to-day life for me now, because mm-hmm. I feel a lot better from following it. But to say there's some things I have written down, even my journal now, which I haven't done for a long time, but one day I might need to, or I feel drawn to it. So say like I've written here Epsom salt baths.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for a long time, but I've written it here. So maybe I needed that back in the day, or maybe, one day I might be drawn to do that again, but that's under my body and energy list. So I do sort of discover the more I say get inspired online or reach out to other highly sensitives and see what works for them. And take it on board and say, hey, I might try that one day and it might resonate strongly with me. It might not, but I'm open to try anything that will, you know, empower me to live better and have a lovely life experience the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Absolutely. You know, I think this would be a great Saturday question to ask on our social media and find out what everybody does for self-care. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Those are great ones, Daisy.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Daisy, I want to thank you for today's conversation. I love how you have all these different categories and the way you think about your self-care and the rituals that you've built around it. How did you feel about today's conversation?
Yeah, it was lovely. It's been lovely to connect, guys. And just sort of to find like-minded individuals and highly sensitives who understand it, and we can trade tips almost.
Yeah.
And stories, you know. And I think it's that saying that sharing is caring, as cheesy it is. It's you know, the more we can learn about these practices and what works for others, it might help us. So I think it's important to have these conversations.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It was really nice chatting with you, Daisy. Thank you.
Rain, you too, Thomas. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. Please join us for our next episode, where we will be having another interesting HSP conversation. To any highly sensitives who have a burning HSP-related question, big or small, we invite you to ask it on the HSP World podcast. Just email info@hsp.world. And a friendly reminder to visit the HSP World website at hsp.world. our thanks to the HSP World Mastery Program and to all of you who support our show by subscribing and listening to our podcast, reading the blog posts on our website at hsp.world, and chatting with us on our social media channels. Your support is contributing to the upliftment of HSPs around the world. We're very grateful.